Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a rich man. He wants a shot at being a rich man. Amen? I'll tell you what, you read the rest of the story, you might change your mind. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple, that is the best there is, and fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. That's a visual. Can I get a witness on that? The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. I think I got an image up here. No. I got some coming up. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony." Who wants to be a rich man? There's agony coming, guys. No, you want to keep your hand down, down, down. He said, besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Lord, I pray your guidance, your direction, your help with the interpretation and anointing upon Natty. Lord, clarity of speech this morning, Lord, that we would all receive from you, and that you would be glorified in our midst. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Change you can feel. Change in priorities. Lisa and I and JJ went to a movie on Thursday night called Risen. And it was an advanced screening, biblical movie, biblical theme. Comes out in the middle of January, if my memory serves correctly, if not February. And it was the story of this Roman soldier. And I don't remember his name. It wasn't important. But he was like a tribune. He was in charge of a bunch of people. And he was there. He came back from a military excursion, came back, and he was like Pilate's right-hand man. He said, "Man, I got a problem with this Nazarene. Go break his legs." And so he goes to the actual crucifixion site of Jesus, and Mary is there wailing. And they go and they break the legs of the two thieves, and she's just screaming and yelling, says, "You know, shut that lady up." And he says, "Don't break his legs," and stick a sword in his side. And you know the story. And so he's there, and then Caiaphas, the high priest, comes and says, "Hey, we got problems. You know, you got to seal this tomb." And he says to this guy, "Go seal the tomb, put some guards on it, make sure nothing happens." And he's like, "Okay, I'm going to do that." And you know the story, the night the Lord is raised from the dead, the tomb, the rock is rolled away, and they're gone. And so now Pilate's got a problem, and Caiaphas has got a problem. He's their solution. He says, "Go find me the body." He is looking for the body of Jesus. And they go dig up all the people that have died in the last several days, and they're looking and they're looking and they're looking, and he says, find the followers. And they find Mary Magdalene, and then they find Bartholomew. And they say, tell us, where's the body at? And Bartholomew, and he's just this kind of a tripped out character. He's just smiling. He's risen. And he's going, you don't tell me where he's at. I'm going to crucify you. And he goes, you know what? You ever seen a crucifixion? No, I never seen a crucifixion. He throws a big old spike down at his feet and says, they nail your hands and they nail your feet. And he goes, I'm going to crucify you. And the guy gets down and he says, if that's what it takes, crucify me. I'll follow Christ. And he's just going, what is up with this dude? And so he's kind of tripping. And he's following the disciples, and he gets to the upper room. And he's got all his Roman guys all covered with, this is kind of, the story. Anyway, it's fictional account. This is not biblical or anything, but it's very cool. And so all these Roman soldiers are all covered in blankets, and they're kind of undercover looking to try and get into and find Jesus. And this dude, the head guy, crashes into the upper room, and he sees the disciples. And in the midst of them is Jesus. And he sees, and he can see his face on the cross, tear of blood coming down his cheek. And he sees this guy and he goes, it's the same guy. And he's just shaken. And Thomas comes up and puts a big old hug on him and he's going, touch the holes in my hands and look at my side. And he's seeing all this. And Jesus looking up at him every once in a while. And the disciples are overwhelmed with the presence of God. And they see him there. And they're just like, he's just like an observer. And he's speechless. And Jesus disappears. And he walks out into the street. And he's got all of his soldiers there. And he's got his right-hand guy. And he says, take them all back. And in that instant, when he sees Jesus, his life is transformed. And the story is this guy's story as he moves through that and becomes a follower of Christ. And it shows him just leaving. You know, he's Pilate's right-hand dude. He's just lined up for riches and wealth and all that stuff. And he didn't go back. And he's just walking out like in the desert, man, and he's just like dropping his sword, and he's just like dropping his armor. All of the things that were important to him faded away. So as we come to our series, Leaping into Luke, we talk about change in our lives. This guy's life was transformed by the resurrected Jesus, by him seeing him. We come to the Gospel of Luke and the good news of the Gospel of Jesus, and it is life-transforming. My uncle is here. He's been there my whole life. He can tell you, I have been transformed by the message of the Gospel. I hope, and I know that many of you have been transformed by the message of the Gospel of Christ. How have you been transformed? How have you been changed? Which of your dreams have fallen by the wayside? Which of your aspirations, which were so important, have fallen off the side? Last week we talked about looking for a payoff. And there are those people that are just looking to get paid in life. Amen? You know people like that? I was like that. I wanted to get paid. And Jesus says, you can't serve both God and money. And realistically, it comes down to you can't serve both God and anything. Because right. If you're trying to work a balance in your life, the balance is going to get off track. And Jesus said you're going to end up hating one and loving the other one. First message in this series was the cost of being a disciple. And Jesus says the cost to follow me is everything that you have, your whole life. We come to today. We talk about Lazarus, this man who was tormented in hell, who lived his life chasing money, chasing luxury, and getting it. Now, I'm not even going to go there. But I was going to say, do you think of Donald Trump, a guy who has money? I'm not saying he's going to hell or anything like that. I don't know. But that's the kind of wealth that this man had. And he ends up in torment. And the story of Lazarus is basically Jesus telling us that there is a future judgment that is based on your current choices. That it did not end up well for this man. And there's so many of us say, you want to be a rich man? Yes! Until we see that picture, until we hear this story, and then we begin to think it over a second time. I don't know what I really want. Jesus says, man, there's a chasm. Once that judgment happens, it can't be altered. And what he says, and he throws in this part with the five brothers, realistically, once you start making your choices, once you set the pattern of your life, it's hard to change that too. He's saying, hey, your brothers aren't listening to Moses and to the prophets. They're not going to listen to anybody from the dead. But I want to let you know, I talked to somebody this morning. What's God telling you? Saying, man, I got to change my life. I got to change my life. I said, it's a tough change. But if you're hearing from him, that means it's not too late. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're talking about a change today. We're talking about leaping in a loop. We're talking about a change that you can feel. And I know many of you have felt it. Many of you are living it. And some of you this morning have come in here and have felt it and are struggling with it. So we're going to talk about that today. Can I get a witness? Can you help me out? Are we okay?
Amen.
Oh, man, we are early. Hallelujah. Here we go. All right, we're going to read. Now we're going to start. We're going to spend our time in chapter 17. And if you, in Spanish, you got the text right in front of you. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, the things that cause people to sin are bound to come. I can just stop right there. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourself. You know, I don't know who was around Jesus, but I'm thinking it was somebody like this. Stand up, would you? You know, he's saying, woe to anybody who would cause one of these little ones to sin. Thank you, ma'am. There are avenues of sin. We are surrounded by sin. And Jesus was surrounded by those innocents. And there were people around that would profit. He's speaking of the Pharisees whose lives were focused on the things of God. But they would use the things of God to line their pockets. We have those people today. The avenues of sin, word there I have on your notes, scandala. Scandala, where we get our word scandalous. There are scandalous things out there. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, crime, sex. Avenues for sin, but also selfishness, anger, jealousy, greed, and gluttony. All kinds of avenues to sin. He says, watch yourselves. Why? Jesus paid for my sins. Yes. You're covered with the blood to be a transformation, to be a change you can feel. Choices you make are hard to undo. There is a judgment, a future judgment that comes based on your current choices. He says, watch out. Don't be scandalous. Don't cause one of these innocent people to sin. And you think about a drug dealer peddling drugs, little kids, giving them into free to get them hooked. Scandalous. Talking about men taking advantage of weak-willed women as Paul writes to Timothy, of young women, scandalous. Don't be that person. Woe to you. End up in judgment. There are those who traffic in sin. Drugs, sex trade, slavery. Those who spread their anger and their bitterness. Bible talks about the root of unforgiveness that would spread bitterness. Don't be that person. Talking about the Pharisees, their eyes on the cash end up in torment. He says it would be better, because sometimes it can be hard to get the vision of the guy suffering, to have a millstone tied around your neck. Now, a millstone, we used to be to crunch up and to grind up grain. And it was a stone, it would be this high. And it would be on edge, there'd be a pole through the middle, and somebody would walk it around in a circle, and you put all the whole grain in front of it, and it would just crunch it up as it went around. You put a donkey on it, whatever, and just going around and around and around, grinding up grain. One thing you can notice, you put that millstone tied around your neck, there's no way out. That's the picture you're supposed to get there. There's not, the shark means nothing. I probably should have faded it out. But there's no way that guy's getting away from that millstone. And there's sometimes there's no way for you to get away from your sin. Except for the voice of God, except for the blood of Christ setting you free. There is a hope. There is a change. It's a change that you can feel. Future judgment based on current choices. What are you choosing? All right, let's keep going. Talking about keeping this place clean. God's people need to deal with sin. You know what? This does not sell in the hood. Because everybody's dirty in the hood. You don't give me up, I won't give you up. You stay out of my business, I'll stay out of your business. Can I get a witness on that? You silly, taught me that a long time ago. It's like, look, man, hey, I'm getting in somebody's business. You know what? God's people deal with sin. If your brother sins, anybody been sinned against this week? That's it? Two? All right, here we go. Oh, yeah. All right, there we go. Juan Carlos. Oh, doble. There we go. All right, so we got action going on. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Oh, this is too hard, Jesus. Increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, probably sitting underneath a big old giant mulberry tree, you say to this tree, jump in the sea. Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. God's people deal with sin. We are, you know, this is a familiar topic in the Gospels. It is something that you have heard. It is put forth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got to be a forgiver. But in front of that, it says you got to be a rebuker. You say, what? Yeah. The word here in Greek is epitomeo. Epitomeo means to correct and to warn. Your brother sins against you. You are supposed to get in front of him, rebuke that sin, correct him, and warn him so that what? So he doesn't get out of control. You got to be that man. You got to be that woman. You got to get engaged. Epitomeo gets engaged in your brother or your sister or your family member who is in sin. Because why? That sin will consume them. And you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You jump in. And you epitomeo. And if your epitomeo works, your brother will repent. Repentance is successful epitomeo. Oh, it's working. Rock the house. Forgiveness? Yes, I'll forgive you. Epitomeo is success. Forgiveness is the success of epitomeo. So if you got to do it seven times, woohoo! We are doing what? We are working in the life of our brother and we're seeing transformation. Now, seven is like a perfect number. It's like 10. If it does it 10 times a day, 20 times. It's just a round number. It doesn't mean seven. Oh, I got to do six. You know, I got one more. No. It just means do it a bunch. Do it all the time. Become an epitomeo-er and become a forgiver. And don't get tired of it. He said, increase our faith. He says, man, you got a faith as small as a mustard seed. You can take this giant mulberry tree. And you say, get on over to the ocean. We used to have a mulberry tree in our backyard. It was a big old tree. And it would shed all of its leaves in the winter and then just get giant in the summer. It was just a giant, giant tree. Forgiveness is a picture of victory over sin. And it can be hard to get. We had some challenges this week with sin in kids' club. After school Bible program, and we had a cabinet down there in the Sunday school room, right behind the soda machine downstairs. Cabinet full of candy. And some of our wonderful little children taking that cabinet, just bending those doors. And reach their hand in there and start stealing God's candy. Now I tell you what, I was dearly wanting to rebuke those children, but I couldn't find them. So, you know what we got? We got little thieves running around the church uncorrected. Uncorrected. Man, my grandpa saw me stealing some candy one day, whooped my backside, told me to go inside and give that candy back. That was a good thing. I was rebuked. I was epitomeoed in my sin. Brought correction. Those children, in their stealing in the house of God, for something as small as candy, that sin get birthed in their soul, uncorrected. Future judgment comes based on current choices. Amen. We need to be involved. We need to epitomeo. Why? For our good? Because I can go, yeah, kid, you're going to take my kid. For their good. And out of the several kids that get caught, maybe two say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that anymore. Hallelujah! That is victory over sin. Forgiveness is victory over sin. Celebrate it. Don't struggle with it. Amen? Amen. Are we good? All right. That's it. One person? Tommy? Is that it? Me and you are good? Here we go, babe. All right. I'm going to keep preaching to the rest of you guys, but me and Tommy are having a good time. All right, here we go. Living the life of a disciple. Living the life of a disciple, Luke 17, 7 through 10. Suppose one of you had a servant. I want a servant. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing. I mean, I want a servant, man, doing electrical work around here, work on these cameras, do all this stuff. But anyway, let's just keep on going. Servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now, sit down to eat. I probably would. Would he rather not say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? This is Jesus talking here, folks. High standard. Can I get a witness? And after that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Be a disciple of Christ. There's a whole lot on the duty end. Jesus describes our duty with an illustration from the life of Israel. Many people were slaves back in the day. They would get debt and they would have to sell themselves to pay off their debt. They were indentured servants working off their debts. And after working a long day in the field, they'd come back and then they would wait on their master. Because that's what they did. That was a job, you know, 18-hour days. That was duty. So should be our service to God, our duty to God. That future judgment comes on current choices. And the question is, what is your duty to God today? What is most important to you? This is something, duty is something that Jesus modeled. He washed his disciples' feet. When? When pride began to creep into their hearts and saying, who's going to be the greatest? I think I'm going to be bigger than you, better than you. I'm going to be greater in the kingdom of God. And he sees this pride running. And he says, let me show you how the kingdom of God works. And he kneels down and begins to wash their feet. Pride taking the place of duty. Jesus says, when you do this, realize, man, he was just a humble servant. Remember Lazarus, reclining at Abraham's side. There is a reward. There is a judgment that comes based on current choices. Man, I hope it works for you. All right, let's keep going. Even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be a servant of many. All right, here we go. Worship is a response to mercy. Now, Jesus tells the story of 10 lepers. He says, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going, Luke tells the story of Jesus and the lepers. He says, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to the Samaritan, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Today, leprosy is, we know it as Hodgkin's disease. There is no cure for Hodgkin's disease today. The only cure for leprosy, the only cure for Hodgkin's disease is a miracle from heaven. Jesus walking along the border between Galilee and Samaria. Nobody lived on the border. Violence would flare up between the Jews and the Samaritans. That's where the lepers live. They live on the edge of society. They say, heal us, Jesus. He says, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, there would have been a whole, probably 10 different scenarios. But what would happen when you got leprosy is you would get like a little patch, a rash on your hand or someplace on your body and say, oh, go show that to the priests. It could be leprosy. And perhaps they'd have many rashes and rashes would just go away. And they're going to the priest thinking it's going to go away. It's no big deal. Maybe going, oh, this could be a big deal. Hoping, oh, it's probably nothing. Maybe going, oh, I'm going to see the priest. I know this is leprosy. They're standing in the leprosy line. I mean, there's a dude. Priest, probably not a high-ranking priest, set up at the border because that's where all the lepers were. Show me your hand. Unclean. Life-changing moment right there. You could not go back to your family, could not go back. Whenever you walked amongst other people, you would have to yell, unclean, unclean. Give them a warning that you were a leper. They'd throw rocks at you. Get out of here. And that's why the Samaritans and the Jews would congregate together once they had leprosy, because their leprosy was an overriding, overarching condition that went beyond their nationality and their upbringing. My pain is so bad. 10 of them. Lord, heal us. Go show yourselves to the priest. Now, can you imagine the second time you went to the priest to show him maybe it's going away? Because that's how you would be declared clean. And, oh, yeah, it really wasn't leprosy. Clean. Head back home. Priest said, I was clean. Hallelujah. Give me a little look. Here's a card, ID card, clean. Woo! How many times they had went to the priest praying, God, heal me, praying, let this not be leprosy. Unclean. Unclean. Stamped every time. Unclean. Unclean. And Jesus says, go see the priest. Maybe hope. Maybe obedience. Nothing holding them back. And nothing visible before they took the first step that anything had changed in their lives. Some of them could have, there's a picture of a guy with leprosy in the movie, the Risen movie, just covered. Just looks like he's got warts all over his whole body. Warts on warts on warts on warts. Jesus heals him. It's pretty incredible. So some of those guys could be like that. And on the way they can see it. On the way, they can feel it. Talking about a change they could feel, right? And they go to the priest, and they say, it was right there. It was right there, and it's not there anymore. All 10 of them, clean, clean. clean, clean. Transformed by the power of God. A change they could feel. After Mark clean, they went home. Celebrated God, celebrated goodness, celebrated life. One came back to Jesus. One worshiped at Jesus' feet saying, "You are so awesome. You are so glorious." And Jesus says, "Where's the other nine? Where's the other nine?" Worship is a proper response to mercy. I have received mercy in my life. And my response to that is to worship God with my life.
Amen.
It goes beyond duty. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I got another story about Kids Club this week. Kids Club, they come and they get homework. And I tell them, you know, these other kids were stealing. I don't know what kids were stealing. Some kids were stealing the candy. And that's the candy that I give because the kids who bring back the homework, they get a treat. And it's so cool because, you know, I'll be there and I'll just be doing stuff and I'll just be doing stuff. And some kid, this is not one of them, but because they're really colorful and nice, will come up to me and go, with a big old smile on his face, "Got my homework done." And it's a study of Jesus, you know. And on the back, there's a little place for the parent to sign. And I look, parent sign, parent look and saw what these kids are learning in God's house. And I say, "Let's go." And we grab the keys and unlock the cabinet. And I say, "What do you want? You can have any one of these you want." They go, oh. They're looking around at all the different, I got $200 worth of candy last month. We got M&Ms, we got all kinds. And they're like, "Oh, I think I want this one." And it lays a foundation for a future judgment, a future reward based on current choices. Amen? Man, I hope you're choosing God. I hope your heart burns with a desire for Him and that your dreams have faded away, that you grab onto Him. Amen? Yeah, I know. It's me and you, Tommy. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. There we go. All right, bro, I'm going. I'm going to try and get these other guys getting in there, too. All right, here we go. All right, number three, kingdom is going to come quickly. We talk about judgment, talk about judgment day. Jesus shift gears, and we start talking about judgment. And notice on these verses, I got a five-verse gap in there. You go back and read that, but I want to stay on target with this. Luke 17, 20 and 21, jump to 26 through 29. It says, once having been asked by the Pharisees, and this is right after the verse about the Samaritan and the leper. So this is the next verse. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. Hey, Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to show? Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is among you, in the midst of you, right here. Kingdom of God is flowing right here. Amen. Okay? Pharisees aren't seeing it. Got some amens there. Some of you guys are seeing it. Jumping ahead to verse 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came, destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven, destroyed them all. Pharisees are looking for answers. This is a different setting, kind of a shift. Luke changes the setting, but he places this here. And if you've noticed, as we take a look at leaping in Luke, we're talking about the cost of being a disciple. We're talking about the heart of God for the lost, that you can't serve both God and money. Talking about Lazarus and the rich man, and now we're talking about the Pharisees looking for the kingdom of God. Luke puts it here on purpose. It fits here. Jesus says it's not something you're going to see coming, guys. It's going to be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And for many, the kingdom of God is going to be an unexpected event. People just carrying on. People carrying on in the days of Noah, everybody except Noah. Noah and his family building an ark, a big boat, putting pitch on it, getting animals. They were working hard. They were completely focused. Nobody knows how long it took to build that ark, but people would say between 50 and 100 years. Oh, they were just giving and taking in marriage. They weren't just carrying on. They were focused on the thing of God. And Lot? Lot was trying to get his sons-in-laws. Lot was trying to get anybody. Lot was trying to find some righteous men. Lot was on target. But the other people in Sodom, they were just carrying on. They had a change of priorities. Do you have that? Change you can feel? Let your priorities fade away, get new goals because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Does the kingdom of God is all around. It is within you. The kingdom of God, the power of God is at work all around us. It's a change that you can feel. You who worked in the kingdom of God, you can see it everywhere. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God, whoo, kingdom of God. I mean, it is as obvious. Help me here now, help me here. I don't want to go too far. Don't get freaked out on me. Kingdom of God is as obvious to those who have a change that you can feel, have been transformed by the Spirit of God, as those people dressed up that kept Pastor Paul and Ann from getting to church on time today. He said, coming down 15, you could see them. You could feel it. They were all dressed up. And you're part of the kingdom of God. That is just as evident as those people waiting to get in the stadium today. Does that make sense? And those who are lost can look all day long and never see it. And go, where is this thing? When's it going to come? Jesus says, you ain't never going to see it. You can't see it with those eyes. You got to have new eyes, newborn eyes to see those. Amen? All right, here we go. Last thing. Pastor Carl looked at that in Spanish. Oh, this is good. Yeah, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. It will be just like this on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who was on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you. On that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, the other one left. Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. Be just like that, man. Just going by all of a sudden, womp, womp, womp. Didn't see that coming. Sure know it's here now. Can I get a witness on that? Is that your car? Turn off that alarm, please. Jesus in verse 25 says that his coming is going to be like lightning. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. In a flash, change will happen. You're in the kingdom. Your choice is reflected. When you see him in the air, you're going to want to go. I can't wait for him to show up. His life of duty is tough. It's tough. I can't wait for him to show up in the air. There he is. I'll tell you what, I'm not looking back. I am stretching out. Hey, finally, let's go. New body. I'm tired of diabetes. I'm tired of hurting and aching. Don't turn around. Don't try and get your stuff. Get out of here. You want to go, Jesus coming in the air. Nothing else matters. You've experienced a change you can feel. You got choices that you're making day after day. Judgment's coming. You're saying, let judgment come. Glory, I am led by the Spirit and I'm off track. Epitomeo me. I'll repent and I'll stay on track. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Judgment day is going to come. It's going to be a day some people aren't going to be seeing, wanting to see it. And some people are waiting, can't wait for it to get here. Confront sin, repent, get ready. And there are some who make the change and some who don't. I don't care. Brothers of the rich man, they didn't care. Jesus said, man, somebody come back from the dead, it won't matter to those guys. They are so far gone. The fact that you are here today leads me to believe that you are not too far gone. In fact, you're here today. Many of you are in the kingdom, rolling in kingdom power. Can't wait till he gets back. Future judgment based on current choices, and you're going, hey, you know what, Lord? Change my choices today. I'm fine. I'm not set on anything. All I want to do is find you. Amen. Change you can feel. Lisa, you want to come up and sing? You are good. You're feeling good. Right now, the Lord is just going, child, we got to dust off a little roughness on the edges. You could come up with an extra amen or two. Be like Tommy, you know, encourage the pastor. It's a little side joke. It's okay. You don't have to really talk. But you can shine that light. You come against sin. You you rebuke it. Epitale, that stuff. Correct, warn, challenge, protect. People in sin need protection, correction. Need to come to that point of forgiveness. When forgiveness comes, celebrate. You struggle with that? Are you moldable in God's hand? Are you struggling? God, Shmod, come on. Man, I got the blood of Christ. What else do I need? Get away. I got to make a little cash. Can't serve God and money. Can't be getting high all day. Can't be chasing skirts or chasing men. Why? God's got bigger stuff than that. He's got eternal stuff. Future judgment. Current choices. How are you choosing? Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, you're so good. You're so awesome. Lord, that we are surrounded by your kingdom, that we can stroll, Lord. And the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you guide and direct us and equip us, Lord, as we are sinned against, as we come upon sin, that we can whatever that is, we can rebuke it. Lord, that we are agents of change, that we have been changed, we can feel it, we know it, we can deal it out, Lord. And you're here this morning. That picture of fire, that guy with fire all over his hair. That is a scary thing to you. Holy Spirit this morning said, watch out. Watch out. This is coming at you. You look around and you say, I don't see the kingdom. I don't know what you're talking about. And the Holy Spirit is here this morning to open your eyes to the kingdom that is all around you. He says, you want in? Jesus paid the price for your entrance. You are will be judged on what you do with the Son of God. His blood has paid your entrance into the kingdom. As you receive that blood applied to you, there will be a transformation in your life. And if you are struggling, you need to step on in further. If you're trying to balance money and God, if you're trying to balance God and anything, you need to step on in further. Because the further you step in, just like that Roman guy, man, saw Jesus high and lifted up and said, whoa, everything else just fades away. And he walks away from his life.